I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock to give you a safe space, a place to think independently. Next hour, it will be a space for health. We do every Wednesday, Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. I'm gonna tell you how to stay healthy. stay healthier. That was basically Joe Biden yesterday. I don't know if you saw this thing. We're gonna play some clips from it in a second. Joe Biden coughed his way through a speech where he told us all how we could all, where he advised us all in our health. This is the world we live in. This was reminded me very much of the fact that Weight Watchers made a heavy Oprah their spokesperson. I guess people will buy just about anything at this point. I kind of want to go back to my last topic of yesterday's show, but I won't. People are just so easily sold. Anyway, we'll listen to that and plenty of other news to get to in this first hour. I'm going to do a rerun of my quote of the day. I know I've done this one before, and I certainly have done a lot of quotes by H.L. Mencken. Man, I'd love to grab a beer with the guy. I think he's been dead about 50 years, but H.L. Mencken said, "The most dangerous man to any government is the man who is able to think things out for himself. Almost inevitably, he comes to the conclusion that the government he lives under is dishonest, insane, and intolerable." And again, this does make me feel a little bit better because this was probably written back in the 1930s, 1920s maybe. I don't have a date on the quote, but it just shows you that things haven't really changed that much. But I certainly have come to the conclusion that the government that I live under is dishonest, insane, and intolerable. At just about every level, I woke up this morning, clicked on local news, wanted to check the weather. I got to tell you, I'm excited about our summertime Christmas forecast. I know a lot of people are not. Doesn't feel very Christmassy. It's kind of an L.A. Christmas that we're expecting, but I'm just not a fan of the cold. But I turned on the local news this morning. And they were talking about, you know, things at City Hall, and they're just going through all kinds of elected people in Jackson, Mississippi. And I got to tell you, seeing them in these masks, city council meetings with everybody masked up, and several of the people on the dais up there had their masks on but pulled down underneath their nose, you look ridiculous. You look retarded. We've got a special needs government running the city of Jackson. They're certainly not the only ones. This is happening all over the country, and I may see the same thing in Madison or Brandon or Clinton or Byram. I don't know. I haven't seen any of their meetings, but it just strikes me. The first thing I think when I see these people in these ridiculous masks, particularly when they're not worn well or they're just these cotton masks, is I just think, oh my God, these people are making decisions that affect our lives. God help you business owners in Jackson, Mississippi. If these are the mentally handicapped people that are calling the shots and your destiny, your financial destiny is tied to these simpletons. Holy cow. It just strikes me again. Obviously, they've reported in the news that Chokwe has come down with COVIDs. Clay Edwards asked a great question. I didn't get to hear the rest of his show today. If anybody knows of anybody who's not gotten the vaccine that has actually come down with COVID, Because it sure seems like those most enthusiastic about the jabs and their boosters are coming down. We're being tested positive for this thing. It's just amazing for me to see these local governments and just exactly how bad they are, I would imagine. In January, we'll see our entire state legislators show up in their ridiculous, ineffective, and dangerous masks as well. And I'm just biding my time. Should we see this surge we're expecting? I'm waiting for the word to come out of the school districts that they'll be mandating these ridiculous masks again. It's in the grocery stores. It's in people's cars. It's just everywhere. People, for the love of God. You know, I don't want to be judgy. I really don't, because I've got so many flaws. I saw some column on Market Watch today where a guy was saying, and my wife and I've got $3 million in savings, but I paid all the bills while she was a teacher. How do we split our expenses when we retire? And I just thought, oh, that is really strange. You've been living a life together, and now you're going to retire, and you guys need to negotiate who's going to pay what bill. That just feels weird to me. But at the same time, I am the last person in the world to give out marriage advice. My marriage did not end in a it did not have a Hollywood ending. Well, maybe a Hollywood horror film ending, but I don't give out marriage advice. So I try not to be judgy of people, but these masks are just I need a break. There's nowhere to hide from this either. I will be going to Louisiana over the break, so I have noticed that in South Louisiana I don't see as many masks, but holy cow, we do not have the best and brightest among us running the show at any level in this country right now, best I can see. Today is day two of the deliberations in the, air quotes here in the studio, Ghislaine Maxwell trial. Headline today, it was paywalled, so I didn't get into the story from the Miami Herald. And I'm sure that makes me sound like just your cheapest journalist you've ever seen. There is a better model. There is a much better model for media. I know they're dying with all of this online free content for everybody and people not buying newspapers anymore. I'm sympathetic. I'm a free market guy. I just don't think they've figured this out yet. There's too many news outlets for people to go around. I don't even care if it's $1 for 3 months, which is what a lot of these places are asking. That's not much. It's not a big deal. But there's so many different news sources. People would end up spending a fortune to get news. They need to find a way. I think I actually have it. Some kind of a digital thing that you can take online and you can pay a penny for a news story, something like that. On places that want to charge a penny. Some people might not spend that penny, but you just kind of a media wallet on there. Somebody take that and run with it. I think it's the only way the media is going to survive. Of course, we don't really necessarily want them to survive. But anyway, the headline from the Miami Herald was Ghislaine's legal team seems buoyed as jurors ask questions about trial testimony. So I guess the jurors' questions, maybe fully scripted. I've got no faith in this trial. Absolutely no faith in this trial. I talked about it yesterday. Ghislaine Maxwell is the linchpin of this entire child sex trafficking ring. She is the intelligence asset. She is the Israeli Mossad asset and probably CIA asset that was running a blackmail operation to ensnare some of the most powerful policymakers around the world. Some of the elites, she is the girl, and I have absolutely no faith. That actually makes it less likely that she'll be held accountable for anything. And should she actually get a sentence, we'll certainly keep an eye on it. But I would imagine Christmas week is just a great time to find her not guilty or guilty of some very small lesser charges, time served, see you later, air quotes here in the studio, Ghislaine. The whole idea that she even came back to the United States is pretty sus. As the kids say, the fact that she was just camping out at a nice New Hampshire estate in the woods, just a little suspicious. She had access to the entire world, great wealth, and as an intelligence asset, she certainly didn't need to be captured. So the whole thing stinks to high heaven, but we'll see where it lands. Day two, her lawyers are optimistic, apparently. When we come back, we'll get into... Joe Biden's telling us how to
how to be healthier.
I have made it part of my mission every time I see in a news story, you know, something caused by the pandemic. Children are falling behind developmentally because of the pandemic. Businesses are shuttering because of the pandemic. Supply chains suffer because of the pandemic. And I point out every single time, it's not at all because of the pandemic. It's because of the hysterical human reaction of the people in charge to a pandemic. We didn't lose our mind in 1958 when something very similar came ashore and everything was fine. We grew a large, prosperous, blooming nation during the 1960s. We have elected the most corrupt, the dumbest among us to positions of power, and we're getting what we deserve, but it's everywhere. This is a Bloomberg article. The U.S. healthcare profession is suffering its own great resignation, pushing more hospitals into financial distress just as winter surge of the coronavirus hits. Across the country, hospitals are buckling under the strain of nursing shortfalls and the spiraling cost of hiring replacements. And it goes down through a list of these different hospitals. And you just look at this stuff and say, you know, it's both things. They don't mention, I just saw this during the break. This is the worst nursing shortage that I've witnessed in my career, Maureen May, a 30-year veteran of the pediatric ICU and the president of the Pennsylvania Association of Staff Nurses and Allied Professionals, a union, said in an interview. Well, to those of us out here as observers, maybe you don't fire nurses that don't take this experimental shot. That's one of the first things. The other thing is burnout. And I would imagine a lot of nurses are burnout because what they have seen is hospitals ignore very effective, easy treatments that provide rapid recovery in most cases, things like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. Instead, they poison people with remdesivir, which just means they have to get more critical care more constantly. Any hospital that will allow things like ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, vitamin D, vitamin C, that can get people in and out quickly without accelerating them to the ICU. I've already done the stories with vitamin D. I think it was 90% of people who were put on high-dose vitamin D when they first presented at the hospital with symptoms associated with COVID did not progress to the ICU. So any hospital that would do something like that would have a great place to work, and if they didn't force their nurses to become part of the grand experiment, well, it'd be easy. I think you still get the COVID money too, don't you? I mean, just the diagnosis of COVID, you don't have to put them in the ICU. I mean, these hospitals, it's such a self-check. Every single one of these problems are created by the entities whining about it, be it government or some of these hospitals and corporations. It's really quite a thing to behold. This was yesterday. Joe Biden came out and addressed the nation. He coughed his way through his presentation on how Americans should make choices for their own health. But he certainly got into some other things, too, that were just really, it was pretty brutal to watch. I soldiered through a lot of it. Quick tip for everybody. I love the speed up feature on YouTube or any of the video platforms where you can do these things. You save yourself a ton of time, and you really realize that most people speak too slowly anyway, myself maybe included. I don't know if you listen on the podcast, if you jack up my voice to a faster speed, but it is an easier way to get through some of these things. Anyway, here is the nut job in charge yesterday.
And that life-saving care they need in the hospital. Look, let me give it to you straight again. Omicron is serious, potentially deadly business for unvaccinated people.
And to remind you, After 5 weeks, South Africa, where those first reports came from, actually Denmark has said that they identified this strain before South Africa, but of course you can't change the narrative of this being the South Africa variant because they're heavily unvaccinated there and they want to lay blame on them. The South African Health Ministry came out and said, we've been living with this now 4 or 5 weeks. There's no cytokine storm. It's mild for everybody from 18 to 80 years old. Joe Biden instead says this is a potentially very deadly thing for you vaccinated. And in South Africa, they said this is a mild cold. It doesn't matter if you're 18 or 80 years old. It doesn't matter if you're vaccinated or unvaccinated. It just didn't matter. It was a mild cold. Of course, here in the land of the Pfizer University, I mean, the United States of Pfizer, they take a different tact.
Let me be clear. Thanks to the prior administration and our scientific community.
Yeah, you got to love that. Hey, how about that? Joe Biden giving a shout out to Operation Warp Speed and Donald Trump. He says it even in this address somewhere. I don't know if I've got the included in these clips. One of the few things that he and the prior administration agreed on, and I played the clip yesterday where Donald Trump tried to play the Jedi mind trick on his supporters. And it sounded like he worked because they stroked his ego with a big round of applause when he asked him if they agreed with him. Or Donald Trump came out and sold this shot and tried to get his supporters to take credit for it and quit bashing the vaccine. You're playing into their hands. I still can't figure out who the they is in this particular thing, but Donald Trump and Joe Biden both talking up the Pfizer book.
America is one of the first countries to get the vaccine. And thanks to my administration and the hard work of America.
I guess other countries went, oh, wait, we don't have to test these things anymore? Well, the U.S. isn't doing it. Yeah, we were the first.
Americans, we led a rollout, made America among the world leaders in getting shots in arms. But uptake slowed this summer as vaccine resistance among some hardened. Look, the unvaccinated are responsible for their own choices. But those choices have been fueled by dangerous misinformation on cable TV and social media.
Hey, what about terrestrial talk radio? Come on now, give us a shout out.
You know, these companies and personalities are making money by peddling lies and allowing misinformation that can kill their own customers and their own supporters.
I mean, you gotta love that. Yeah, these people on social media, Dr. McCullough, the High Wire with Dell Bigtree, Dr. Mercola, they're making money off of what the White House would call misinformation. Yeah, I love the charge. You know, natural health community is kind of used to this charge. They're making money off of this thing. To totally ignore the initial estimates of $178 billion going to Big Pharma for these shots, to even throw that in there, that the profit motive is all on one size. It's these hucksters that are spreading misinformation. Pay no attention to the $178 billion the vaccine manufacturers are getting.
It's wrong. It's immoral. I call on the purveyors of these lies and misinformation to stop it. Stop it now.
Oh. Oh.
One of the other things that we know that has to be done is more testing. Because Omicron spreads easily, especially among the unvaccinated, it's critically important that we know who's infected.
I mean, it's so important to go out there and find these cases. Go out there, Americans. You know, look, I don't know how much more of this I can play. I find myself just disgusted by all of this pageantry around the COVID cult. The ceremony of a presidential address to alert Americans to the new strain of the cold. I've said it before, I'll say it again. We've gone from a country where families would load up newborn infants or pregnant women into a horse-drawn carriage with wooden wheels where there were no roads and no settled lands to go find a stake of land to raise a family and provide for yourself. We've gone from that to a presidential address across all major networks to address a cold. This is the nation that we have become. You know, I was looking at this yesterday, and as Biden was prattling on, I thought, who in the hell is waiting for holiday guidance or taking one iota of information from what he's saying. Actually, you know, this could be good. If we lived in an honest country that was not bought and paid for by the pharmaceutical companies and the healthcare industry, we could live in a country where the president actually doesn't address, hey, good news. South Africa's been living with this thing for a while. It's just a cold. As a matter of fact, the more people that get infected with this thing and just have a brief cold, the better off we're going to be. We may actually get to herd immunity within a couple of months. That would be a presidential address of giving people useful information instead of endless fear-mongering and big pharma propaganda, which is what we got. But I was looking at this thing. Who in the world is listening to this, trying to figure out, you know, there are people in this country that were listening to this address thinking, okay, let's see what President Biden says, and then we'll firm up our holiday plans with our loved ones. What's right? What's wrong? Should I discriminate against my unvaxxed relatives? I mean, there are people actually hanging on this, and I saw it in a news story. There was a man on a news story, I think it was radio, it might have even been a CBS break here, I'm not sure. They were reporting on the hours of lines for this testing garbage. So this man stood in a line, presumably with other people, for hours to get a test. And he said when they asked him why he was waiting so long, why he felt it was so important to get this COVID test, he said, well, I've got children and grandchildren, and my mother's going to be with us, and I think it's important that I find out if I've got this disease, so I need to test. And I just thought to myself, what happens if you test negative and catch this thing on the way home when you stop to get a gallon of milk? Do people understand that testing is a moment in time at best? Not to mention all of the false positives around these tests, not to mention the lack of severity of this new so-called Omicron. But the guy could get it on his way home. He could get it the next day. Is this one of these things where you have to wait in line for hours to get a test, and then as you get home, you start thinking through your, oh my God, I've been around other people. I went into the store. I stopped by to buy batteries. I've got to go back. I got to get back in line to get tested and make sure that after my test, I wasn't exposed when I left the test. What are we doing here between that and this ridiculous masking? Oh my gosh, I have lost so much faith and so much humanity. At the same time, discovering some new great friends and seeing a mass awakening going across the country. The next few months will show us what percentage of the population is awake as they roll out the boosters and the fourth shot and the fifth shot, and they continue to shove this stuff down your throat, because people are going to start noticing that even the people they know that got sick, particularly the unvaccinated, may have a better time with this because they're not susceptible to this antibody-dependent enhancement. They're noticing that the NFL players who were almost all shot up are the ones canceling games, that the NBA is canceling games and shutting teams down and putting their vaccinated players into quarantine while the unvaxxed move about relatively fine. Regardless of what health authorities have to say. Take a quick call.
How you
call.
Doing today, sir?
Hey, good. How are you?
This is Wade calling.
Hey, man.
I just wanted to see if you saw about 6 months ago, the CDC put out that the PCR test had false positives.
Oh, yeah.
And that that the other day it came out again, but they said that they weren't going to stop it to December 31st.
Right, yeah, exactly.
So it came out like 6 months ago.
Yeah, so I guess is this test, I mean, this. So Biden is posed to order 500 million, I think these are the at-home tests. So I don't.
Crazy.
Yeah, so I guess they're going to roll out a new test on us as the PCR test goes away. While refusing to admit that the PCR test was flawed in the first place, never going back and looking, a lot of scientists have come out and said 90% false positives on these things. They'll never adjust the numbers to allow for that, but I can't imagine that we're moving towards a more accurate test.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Have a great day, sir.
Hey, thanks, Wade. I appreciate it.
Have a good day.
You too. Yeah, you know, I mean, and that's one of the things, too. We're never going to actually know the real numbers of this stuff. We've been using a flawed test. I would imagine they're putting a new flawed test in it. And you know what? I haven't done the research on this, and kind of glad Wade brought that up. It just jogged this in my memory. Bill Gates bought a testing company, I believe in Great Britain, about a year ago, maybe 9 months ago. I'd be very curious to know how much of these 500 million at-home tests are actually going towards maybe the company or some technology that Bill Gates now owns. I'm sure that's certainly within the realm of possibility, so we'll have to check that out. But this testing, test. We learn nothing in this country. We seriously learn nothing. And if you don't believe me, go into the grocery store today. See the masked masses. What's the frequency? Can it be sharp and so dream? All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. If you are not one of the hysterics and still enjoy getting together with friends or family or coworkers, this is the season. Everybody's going out for lunches, going out for dinners, getting together to fellowship outside of social media. I want to recommend to you The Gathering. I went there yesterday. I did find out that Red Beans and Rice Day is Thursday. I really highly recommend that. Today is Pork Chop Day. And I have been told, although I have not tried them yet, that the pork chops are fantastic. That will be their blue plate special for today, as I was told yesterday. Anyway, this is The Gathering Restaurant. They are at the corner of Highway 22 and Highway 463. They are right out there in the Livingston Township out there, the quaint little town that's out there. They have blue plate specials every day at The Gathering that feature their famous fried chicken as well as the best fried pork chop on earth. You got homemade gumbo and tomato basil soup served all day long, and I'm telling you, go on Thursdays and get that red beans and rice. That's one of my favorite meals out there. Evenings, you can enjoy butcher-cut steaks, fresh seafood, golden brown fried catfish, savory pastas, and delicious salads. Yesterday, one of our guys got a grilled romaine salad with chicken in it. He said it was fantastic, maybe one of the best salads he's ever had. I've never heard of grilling romaine, but done a lot of time in the restaurant business. Been out to eat a lot of times, never heard grilled romaine, but he said it was absolutely fantastic. They also have a great brunch there on Saturdays, probably not this Saturday, being Christmas Day, and live music every Sunday night. You can check out their Instagram or Facebook page about those kinds of performances. They also do, this is The Gathering, out at Livingston, they also do family meals to go. So if you are looking to feed a family, this is a hustle and bustle time, swing by The Gathering and pick up a great meal for your family. The adjacent Livingston Mercantile has a huge selection of hunting and fishing supplies, so you can also do some Christmas shopping while you're out there. And they got a full-service gas station with real Southern hospitality. So that is The Gathering Restaurant at Livingston Mercantile in the little quaint town of Livingston. You can check them out, livingstonmercantile.com, livingstonmercantile.com. Get out there and check out The Gathering when you're making your holiday plans this year. Right on time, I read to you the other day what I believe... I got to be pretty accurate. The pre-pandemic planning party that was done in the Trump White House, I would imagine similar meetings have taken place in the Biden White House. You know, this is something that would be attended by the real hoi polloi of the pharmaceutical industry, hospital associations, where they planned out exactly, you know, who was going to make money when. I rolled you through how it was going to be. You know, crushing effective treatments, ramp up the fear. The testing companies were there. We're going to do a bunch of tests. We're going to force everybody into the shot. If people start catching on to the shot or, it, you know, as it becomes apparent that the shot doesn't work, it's really only damaging, then we're going to roll out the pills just in time for President Biden to make his big speech Tuesday. The FDA has just confirmed that it plans to authorize the Merck and Pfizer pills. So here we come. This is the pill payoff portion of our pandemic programming. It could be authorized before Wednesday, meaning the approval will likely come with days to spare before the Christmas holiday. And so I want you to listen to how these pills work. Let's see. Yeah, here it is. Pfizer's pill Paxlovid. and Merck's molnupiravir are intended for higher-risk people who test positive for COVID. The course of treatment, check this out, this is just cutting edge. The course of treatment involves a series of pills at home over several days. Does this remind you of anything that millions of Americans have been doing for the past 2 years with ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine for pennies? A course of treatment that involves a series of pills at home for several days? What cutting-edge treatment is this? Oh, my gosh. It goes through this thing, but there was one part of the story I wanted to get to that just really shows you the big pharma payout. A U.S. government has already ordered 10 million courses of the Pfizer pill, and here's the funny part, and about 3 million courses of the Merck drug, which isn't as effective, according to the available clinical data. So, I mean, I'm just going to ask a stupid layperson question here. And look, I have no faith in the Pfizer pill anyway. I don't know if this is Pfizer-mectin. I don't know what they did with this. I'm not researching it because I keep my vitamin D levels high. This is something I don't even really care about. But if you've got two drugs, Pfizer and Merck, and Pfizer's is better, and you need to order 13 million courses of this treatment, why don't you just order 13 million of the one that works better rather than giving Pfizer 10 million courses at taxpayer expense, and then just throw in Merck 3 million courses of a treatment that's not as good as the Pfizer treatment. I'm just curious. It kind of seems like if you're really trying to treat people, let's just pretend this Pfizer pill is worth a damn. You would really think maybe you would just focus in on the one that works best, but you can't because Merck makes campaign contributions too. You need to buy a bunch of 3 million courses, and I'm sure this won't be the end of this. This is just wetting Merck's beak. You've got to order 3 million courses of a not really effective drug just because they contributed to Biden's campaign too. And they're offering jobs to FDA people and CDC people and National Institutes of Health. They need other corporations to parachute out into or to share patents with while they suck taxpayer dollars through their government salaries. They need to make sure they're spreading this money around. So this has nothing to do with your health, has nothing to do with the effectiveness of any of these drugs. This is political payola. And it's all being done. They steal money from the U.S. taxpayer and dole it out to their crony friends. I don't know what could be more really apparent than that when you've got two drugs right next to each other, one of them works better than the other one. Why order the one that doesn't work as well? It makes no sense. Well, except for the fact. Be right back.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
I'm pretty confident in a lot of my views, usually because they're very well researched. I'm so proud when people want to know about more about something I talked about on the air that I can shoot them my source material. I don't do a lot of off-the-cuff stuff here, except for just an abject disdain for the political class in this country. And I mean, duh, you know, that doesn't make me particularly special. It's just a specialty of mine, and pointing out the corruption and the simple minds that we have hoisted to the levers of power. But I was dead wrong about something, and I always want to admit it when I am wrong about something. I really assumed we would have a COVID baby boom. When this thing first broke out and they were locking people in their homes, essentially, a lot of people working from home, staying home, not going outside, I really thought we were going to see quite the little baby boom. Now, I was not married at the time, so maybe my finger's not on the pulse of what's going on, but they've got a new population report showing that the United States grew at the lowest level, I think, in all of records since the founding of the country, I believe. Of course, this headline says, COVID drives U.S. population growth to slowest rate since nation's founding. Now, I would say a lot of our population growth is due to the free movement of peoples, and they curtailed that. The excess deaths notwithstanding. I just thought we would outpace it with a baby boom, but I guess I was wrong. I don't know, what were you married people doing during all of these lockdowns and quarantines? I just assumed. Did everybody get so quickly sick of each other that a naughty time was taken off the table very early in the pandemic? I just assumed there would be a lot of COVID kids, but I guess I was wrong. I wanted to draw attention to one thing. My time on the air this week is short, so I'll go ahead and get into this. This would probably be better for my False Flag Friday segment on Friday, but we will be playing Christmas music and taking a day off. Earlier this month, Reuters produced a report which didn't receive nearly enough attention among the American public. Its comments would be sure to alarm most people concerned with the outbreak or of yet more global catastrophes. At the very least, it's curious timing amid the recent pandemic-induced disruption in supply chains. Powerful institutions and banking institutions decided to get together to run a global economic collapse scenario. We know about these tests, right? Now, let me qualify that with, you know, a lot of times, those of us who deal in the conspiracy realm, because conspiracies do exist, we certainly are becoming more and more aware of the corruption and collusion of the elites. But I don't know how often they run things. You know, a lot of times we'll point to, you know, an exercise in this or an exercise of that, and a lot of people jump to, oh, that's proof of foreknowledge and that they planned this whole thing. That may very well be the case, but we don't know. You know, do they do these things every single year? I don't know. But this is enough to coincide with something else we've played here on the show that I'll play again, just to get my spidey senses tingling. The report described that Israel led a 10-country simulation of a major, anyone, cyber attack on the global financial system in an attempt to increase cooperation that could help to minimize any potential damage to financial markets and banks. It was centered on a catastrophic scenario in which hackers were 10 steps ahead of us, according to one official who took part. Dubbed Collective Strength, the exercise was held in Jerusalem and included the participation also of the United States, UK, United Arab Emirates, Austria, Switzerland, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, and Thailand. Officials from the International Monetary Fund, World Bank, and Bank of International Settlements were also involved. The financial geopolitical gaming simulation was set among a scenario where sensitive data was leaked on the dark web, which combined with fake news reports going viral across societies, resulting in the collapse of global markets and an ensuing run on banks. Let's see, I think it got down in here to talking about some of the things they discovered. One was a bank holiday. The banks are appealing for emergency. This was part of the exercise. The banks are appealing for emergency liquidity assistance in a multitude of currencies to put a halt to the chaos as counterparties withdraw their funds and limit access to liquidity, leaving the banks in disarray and ruin. The participants discussed multilateral policies to respond to the crisis, including a coordinated bank holiday. You all might want to keep a little cash under the mattress, debt repayment grace periods, swap repo agreements, and coordinated delinking from major currencies. Now, this is the James Bond villain known as Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum, who said this last year.
And improve our preparedness for a potential cyber pandemic.
A cyber pandemic. This, I believe, a lot of people are noticing the talk of climate change and the fact that they are going to take the authoritarianism that they have exercised. They're just working these things out to see exactly what people will put up with country by country, state by state. Here in the United States, we're finding different people put up with different things. They've been kind of testing that, and people believe they're going to roll this into an environmental thing. I mean, seriously, if people will allow their churches to be shut down, if they will allow their children to be strapped with a filthy mask for 8 hours a day, will they really not protest when they can't drive their car except every other day? And so a lot of these things, people talk about taking this into this greening of stuff. This climate change hysteria is just going to replace the pandemic. But I think along the way, we're going to see this cyber pandemic. And this one is, you know, I looked at the story and I just went, good, look, can you please just, you know, get off of our backs. Leave us alone for a little while. This would be a very disruptive thing. And all of the things, you know, I think to myself, look, whatever they throw at us, I'll work my way through. I just try to ignore everything. I'm not getting tested. I'm not getting jabbed. I'm not wearing a mask. I'm not participating in the COVID cult ceremonies at all. And this one would ensnare a lot of us and make our lives really very inconvenient when this comes, not to mention the reaction to it will be even more authoritarian, and the hysterics, scared for their financial futures, will acquiesce to anything that the government says they need to do in response to this thing. I just wish they would just leave us the hell alone for a while. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. It's Wednesday, every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock. We focus in on health, particularly on natural health strategies to help you reclaim your health, take it back from the medical establishment that is abusing you, along with their pharma masters. I've got plenty to get into today. I start every show by explaining to you I'm not a doctor, I'm not a scientist, not a biologist, not a chemist, not a virologist and immunologist. I'm not a surgeon. I'm not a nurse. I'm not a therapist. I'm nothing. I have no certification to advise you on your health. I'm just somebody who passionately believes that most of what Americans are suffering from are nutritional deficiencies. You fix that. You fix yourself. You fix your health. You escape the medical system. That's the goal of this show, to free anybody who is so motivated to stay healthy and feel better, look better, to take it into their own hands, because they are not going to help you. For years, I've talked about the fact that the CDC, the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, and the FDA are not protecting you. They're protecting the disease profiteers, the misery merchants, the illness elites. And now what we're seeing, people are catching on to that. You understand that this also occurs at the state level. How else could people in the state governments, and particularly here in Mississippi, keep their jobs with the health outcomes of Mississippians? Now, I'm going to tell you, your health is your responsibility. No bureaucrat, even if there's a good one and they're well-intentioned, can force a person to take care of their own health, so that's on you. But, I mean, seriously. Thomas Dobbs hadn't done a single press conference on diabetes as it explodes in his state on his watch. And he probably doesn't really want to, because he knows every diabetes patient is worth hundreds of thousands of dollars to Big Pharma along the way. You have to suffer the consequences of it, but it's great for the shareholders and the executive boards of the pharmaceutical companies that you carry diabetes with you for the rest of your life instead of taking control of your health and reversing your type 2, which is happening all the time. Anyway, now people are starting to kind of wake up to this, the corruption at all levels, and this has gone out. Mississippi Parents for Vaccine Rights is calling attention to this, getting people involved to start calling their legislators. And this came from another group to me yesterday. On November 29th of this year, Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves has nominated Dr. Lee Ann Griffin, a medical outcomes specialist for Pfizer, to head a post at the Mississippi State Board of Health. Our State Board of Health provides policy direction along with our state health plan, as well as approves all rules and regulations of our health department. In addition, they appoint and oversee the state health officer currently, and Dr. Thomas Dobbs. So now Mississippians can see real time how these big pharma companies not only run the federal government and are just, I mean, they are just backing up the truck around this pandemic. And now you're seeing at the state level that you've got Pfizer running the show and helping create the rules and regulations and treatment protocols and everything else that the State Board of Health is involved with. You should call your legislators. You should draw a line in the sand and say no more big pharma on our boards. Now, I haven't done the research to find out who else on the medical boards or at the medical licensure group have big pharma ties, either as employees or having gotten funding for research and grants, or just flat-out kickbacks. Maybe some of them are on the speaking tour. This is the same medical licensure board that threatened doctors that used ivermectin or used hydroxychloroquine or who would dare to speak the terms, vitamin D may help you. The medical licensure board, the state board of health, is at the ready to knock down anything that challenges big pharma's supremacy over treatment of everything. So it would be great to see Mississippians stand up and stop this Pfizer employee from taking her new spot on the State Board of Health. Anyway, this corruption is everywhere. This is why I do this show. I am trying to help you escape. I'm like the Harriet Tubman running the Underground Railroad out of the medical establishment. Hopefully you will grab my hand and allow me to help lead you out. You got to go yourself. I don't have the path for everybody, but I've got some breadcrumbs that you can start to follow and then pick them up on your own. I guess I'll take a quick break, and I want to come back. I've been looking for, and thanks to Wade, who sent me a link, I've been looking for ways for people to detox from these shots. I have some good news and some bad news on that front, but we'll get to that when we come back. We talk a lot on the show about some of the dangers of pharmaceuticals, whether it's cholesterol medications, high blood pressure, antidepressants, the side effects of these things, and how they may affect other parts of your health. But it's not only just prescription stuff, over-the-counter stuff, things you need to watch out for, too. And I ran across some pretty amazing stuff talking about pregnant women, expecting moms, and Tylenol. Listen to some of these statistics, and this is something you might want to share with anybody who is considering getting pregnant or is pregnant. Abnormal hormonal exposures in pregnancy can influence fetal brain development, and research published in 2014 warned acetaminophen, that's Tylenol, is in fact a hormone disruptor. According to that 2014 study, use of acetaminophen during pregnancy was associated with a 37% increased risk of the child being diagnosed with hyperkinetic disorder, a severe form of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD. A 2019 study found that compared to children of mothers with the lowest acetaminophen levels, children of mothers with the greatest exposure had a 286% higher risk for ADHD and a 362% higher risk for autism spectrum disorder by the time they were about 9 years old. Findings published in 2016 revealed use of acetaminophen at 18 and 32 weeks of pregnancy were associated with a 42% higher risk of conduct problems and a 31% higher risk of hyperactivity symptoms in the child. Another 2016 investigation found children of both sexes whose mothers used acetaminophen during pregnancy were 41% more likely to present with ADHD symptoms at age 5. Boys were also more likely to have ASD. That's some pretty scary stuff. You know, it's kind of like I say, just because something is on the shelves at the grocery store does not mean it is safe to eat. The FDA doesn't care about you. USDA doesn't care about you. They're serving their corporate masters. Ingredients in our food show that. It's why Americans are getting sicker. But when it comes to FDA, even over-the-counter stuff, we all kind of look at over-the-counter stuff as, well, that's just the little stuff, you know. You can take that. I mean, a Tylenol, swing by a gas station and pick up some Tylenol. It's no biggie, obviously. If it was a problem, then doctors would have to prescribe it. But some of these over-the-counter things are things you need to also be aware of. I have been searching for something. I've had people call the show and contact me by email. My email is mikemadison@wyeb.com. saying that they are a little worried that they took this shot. Some people have had some reactions to those things, particularly circulatory issues, I think is probably the main thing that I've seen. But they haven't felt well after it. And so some people say, now, I didn't know this would happen. They did not disclose this to me. There is basically no informed consent going on with these shots right now. But people want to get it out of them. I'll play a news story here first where the media does a little bit of a hit piece, but they're not entirely wrong here.
New at 11, vaccine mandates are leading some who don't believe in the life-saving shots to seek out.
Just the tone of this article. It's pretty gross. I mean, this story. It's pretty gross. Let me just warn you there.
Ways to cleanse themselves after they have been inoculated. The baseless idea actually taking off among anti-vaxxers, rallying around a Georgia doctor.
And again, the people who contacted me were not anti-vaxxers. They're the people who have actually taken the shot.
Who suggested that she can detox the vax. She can't. Zach Summers live in Atlanta with why medical experts are sounding the alarm. Zach.
Yeah, Rick.
They're sounding the alarm over this. They're not sounding the alarm over the 20,000 deaths currently reported on VAERS, the tens of thousands of permanent disabilities reported on VAERS, the close to 1 million adverse reactions to the shot on VAERS. Medical authorities aren't calling any attention to that, but they do want to warn you about anybody who's trying to sell you snake oil for getting this stuff out of you.
Rick, it should go without saying you can't undo the COVID vaccines. And medical experts say, why would you when they have proven to protect against the virus?
Now, that's so funny. Why would you? Why would you? Well, I would imagine the people who are looking to detox from these shots had something happen. They're not feeling well. That's why they might want to do that. I don't think a lot of people who are really hep on these shots take them and say, now I want to get it out of me. Now, people here who haven't had problems with it probably aren't looking for detox options. All the people looking for detox options are not feeling well after this shot.
Detox, detox, detox.
This Detox the Vax video from Georgia doctor Carrie Monde has since been pulled from TikTok.
You add in one cup of borax, you know, that laundry detergent, that'll take nanotechnology out of you.
Some took the video to mean a person can rid themselves of the COVID vaccine by taking a bath in baking soda, Epsom salt, and borax.
Doesn't make any sense.
Dr. John White says it's illogical to think that bathing in chemicals can somehow extract the life-saving shots. The vaccine enters the cells and creates spike proteins to fight the virus.
You don't sweat out antibodies. You don't cleanse yourself of, the immunologic response.
White says even more disturbing, some anti-vaxxers are trying more invasive strategies.
People are trying to put needles in their body to pull things out or to create some type of, cupping on their body to extract what they think are toxins from the vaccine. That's where folks are going to start to cause some harm to themselves.
He understands how mandates might make some feel powerless, but White says the proof is in the science. COVID-19 vaccines work.
And I think people that, have this hesitancy about the vaccine, they really want to latch on to anything that's going to corroborate what they're thinking.
So there you go. And the problem with this is obviously the tone of this thing is horrible, quite obviously to me. Logically, anybody who's looking to get this shot out of them is doing it for a reason. It's not a hobby. I take shots, then I get them out of me, and then I take a shot, and then I get it out of me. I mean, that's not what people just arbitrarily do. These are people who are having bad reactions to the shots. Unfortunately, they are correct in a lot of these things, and there will be a lot of people out there getting a lot of attention, and people do want to cling to anything that they hear. I mean, it is difficult. I can be susceptible to that as well. But they're right. You can't get this thing out of you. I've not seen anything that said you can get this shot out of you. The mechanism of reprogramming some of your RNA to produce the spike protein, once you take the shot, you got the shot. You have set this thing in motion. And for the vast majority of people, they're seeing no real consequences of it now. And we hope that there are no long-term side effects of this thing. The near-term side effects are record-breaking, and they're completely ignoring that. But these people who are seeking for ways to undo the damage possibly done by these shots, my heart goes out to them. Wade sent me this. A story about detoxing after the shots. This is not about undoing. I don't think you can stop this messenger RNA from programming your body to produce these spike proteins. I've seen nothing, but I'm just kind of clinging towards anything. Let me tell you, I'm going to read you a little bit from this, and let me just tell you right now, I have no idea if this works. I have no idea if any of these things, but because it's natural, the side effects of some of these supplements, some of these things that are suggested in this article, are generally just going to be positive for your body anyway. We need some of these nutrients in our system. And I would imagine being healthier and giving your body what it needs to repair anything is a net positive. But as far as undoing or mitigating any of the effects from these shots, no idea if this works. This is very new. You know, natural health is very good about telling people about fasting for controlling blood sugar and diabetics and what kind of fasting program you can. Diabetes has been around for a long time. They've had a lot of time to work and experiment and see what they can do to reverse type 2 diabetes. Same things with cancers and heart disease. Natural health explores these things. They determine the nutritional deficiencies that you need to address in order to reverse some of these chronic conditions. With this, it's so new. I've been looking. This is one of the first things I've seen, so I'll tell you a little bit about the author and then some of the things that were suggested. The author of the COVID-19 vaccine detoxification regimen is Dr. Gerald H. Smith. He's certified by the World Organization for Natural Medicine to practice natural medicine globally, and he's also a certified dental practitioner. His broad base of postgraduate training in natural medicine and dentistry helps him integrate an array of vital health care specialties. And these are some of the recommendations taken from this piece. It's not really a regimen. It's not anything you can probably point to, but he just gives you a couple points here. I'm going to read them off to you because really, to be honest with you, I'm just kind of desperate to give people any ideas and then take this and do your own research. I'm certainly not hawking this as some kind of a cure for a bad reaction to the clot shot. Dr. Smith says certain enzymes orally taken work to help break down the fibrin that can cause lung scars, which may help breathing return to normal. Doctors around the world have been prescribing systemic enzyme therapy to treat fibrosis since the 1970s. Enzymes are also efficient in treating pain and inflammation associated with vaccine injuries and or musculoskeletal disorders. Reducing inflammation is the first order of business for the severely and chronically inflamed vaccinated masses right now, many of whom are suffering from thousands of microscopic blood clots that are not showing up on mainstream diagnostic tests. That is just outside of their elevated heartbeat and high blood pressure. Systemic enzymes can also dissolve the lipid coating that surrounds the spike protein, dissolving foreign or toxic protein in your blood and tissues, all while destroying bacteria and preventing blood clotting. So he's saying that enzyme treatment, and these are the kinds of things you can go to a health food store and ask them for some of these kinds of enzymes. Dr. Smith understands the power of nutrition and how to help people cleanse their blood using natural remedies, including, and here's a list that they give, glutathione, curcumin, magnesium, enzymes, vitamin E, maca, zinc, medicinal mushrooms. And then he says, just as the list goes on. So these are just some strategies. And these are the kinds of things I tell you that a lot of people take on a daily basis, shot or no shot, to help themselves clean up their systems. So this is really the best I've come across so far. It's not necessarily adequate. I don't know you're going to find some kind of a magic bullet to undo what these shots have done, because this is a new technology, never rolled out on people before, and it's going to take a while to figure out what works for people who are damaged from these things or are having health consequences and side effects from these shots. The only thing I guess you can say is the healthier you are, the more robust your body is in fighting off things like inflammation or just operating on a better plane all the time is probably going to tip the odds in your favor that you'll recover from any of these things faster than you would if you're still nutritionally deficient. So My best guess is dial in on your nutrition. Give your body everything it needs to repair everything. I assume the human body can take a whole host of internal toxic traumas if you are, you know, detoxing naturally and your body's got what it needs to repair itself. The best thing I can say right now, I appreciate Wade sending that along. And we'll keep looking. As anybody comes out, particularly trusted people, you do have to be careful of a bunch of snake oil salesmen. They're going to be out there telling you and selling you. Now, I don't have a problem with natural health people making money off good quality supplements or treatments. I don't have a problem with that at all. They've got to feed their families, too. What makes a Pfizer CEO a hero that can be trotted across all mainstream television like a lifesaver, even though they're making tens of millions of dollars a year from doing it, and you get a natural health practitioner that sells a $40 multivitamin, and people lose their minds saying they're some kind of a scam artist. That's completely on its head. But anyway, I'll pay attention, and the more I hear, the more I'll let you know about it. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We're doing Hump Day Health, Natural Health News You Can Use. I do not take any phone calls during this hour of the show on air. If you want to call, you can call during the break. I'm happy to talk to you, but I don't ever want to be seen dispensing, you know, any kind of advice to somebody that I don't know. I'm just trying to give you some things that you can research yourself. If something that I describe seems to pertain to you or somebody that you love, and maybe you're looking for a better way than the pharmacological model to reclaim your health, it's up to you to take the information and run with it, do your own research, consult people far smarter and more qualified than myself along the way. I did have a caller during the break. He had called before and had heart issues after the shot and described them to us here on air, not on this segment, but at a different time during the week. He said his heart problem has stopped, and what he did was a 48-hour weekend-long water-only fast. Now, I have no idea of the implications of that. I don't know the mechanism for how that might help. I do know that fasting is a good way to give the body a chance to heal itself through a process called autophagy. And I will be talking a lot about fasting after the beginning of the year, because I'll set aside 3, 5, 7 days myself to do a water-only fast. I do it at the beginning of every year to kind of reset and clean up my body. Only downside to that is I really kind of gets into my head during December. I'm like, well, you know, I'm going to clean out next month anyway, so I probably eat some stuff in December that I do not normally eat during the rest of the year. But anyway, we'll talk a little bit about fasting, but this caller said that was something that he noticed before and after. His heart issues post-vaccination were better after a fast. Now, again, fasting, I don't know how it counteracts with certain medications. People don't just jump into this stuff. It's something you need to do your own research on. And if you're on a bunch of medications, you may need to see how those play into a water-only diet for, you know, a day to 5 or 7 days. I think there's a lot of science behind the benefits of fasting. But again, this is all relying on your personal condition and exactly what you're trying to accomplish. You got to do your research on that. We'll talk about fasting more in January as we go to try to do another great annual reset through that. I ran across this clip. This Dr. Mindy has kind of come on my radar. She does a lot of stuff on fasting. You'll probably be hearing some from her over the coming weeks. I mean, she's got a YouTube channel, and I ran across one video titled Reset Your Thyroid. Again, her name is Dr. Mindy Pelz, P-E-L-Z. And I hear so many, particularly women, talking about thyroid issues, either hypo or hyperthyroidism. I looked it up. About 20% of cases of hyper or hypothyroid problems are related to men. And they don't hear, I guess, you know, I'll be honest with you, us guys, we might talk about stiff pains or we're a little slower than we used to be. We're not going to get down into discussing our thyroids in a group of men, but I do hear a lot of it, particularly when it comes to women. So I thought this was a worthy audio to play for everybody. If you think you're having thyroid problems, and let me do this real quick for men. When I was looking this up to see what percentage of thyroid issues were for men, here are some of the most common symptoms of thyroid problems in men. And I mean, this is pretty overarching. I'm not saying everybody who exhibits these has a thyroid problem, because that would be about 80% of the people listening to me. Feeling cold, I have that. Tiring easily, dry skin and brittle nails, constipation, depression, trouble concentrating, sore muscles, and weight gain. These are things that may be a sign that you've got a thyroid issue as a dude. And I would imagine, like I say, I would imagine a lot of people can probably check off several of those off their list. So it's something, thyroid issues are something probably everybody needs to pay attention to. Here's Dr. Mindy on resetting your thyroid.
Hi, Dr. Mindy here. I've been serving wellness to my community for over 20 years, and today I want to talk to you about your thyroid condition. So many of you guys are struggling with your thyroid. You've got weight loss resistance, you're depressed, you've got insomnia, anxiety, and you are finding no answers in medication, in changes to diet. Many of the patients that I see that are coming in have really tried everything possible with no success. So what I want to do over the next couple of minutes is I want to show you how the thyroid breaks down in the first place. See, thyroid problems aren't happening because we haven't figured out the right medication. Thyroid problems are happening because there are three conditions that go on inside the body that make the thyroid break down. So we equate it to like a three-legged stool. With a three-legged stool, you've got to have all three legs in balance. Otherwise, the stool is not, it doesn't have a foundation and you cannot sit on it. So when it comes to your thyroid and really your health in general, the three things that have to be in balance for your body to function right are one is your genetics, and we'll talk about that in a second. Two are all the stressors that you're exposed to. So physical stress, emotional stress, chemical stress, and I'll explain to you the ones that hurt the thyroid the most. And three is what we call leaky gut, or just your gut in general. If you saw my book or you've read my book, The Reset Factor, I give you a 45-day protocol to repairing the gut, that we are learning so much about the gut and how it intertwines with your whole health and how you have to have your gut in balance in order for your health to be in balance. But let me tell you what happens with the thyroid, is that often we have a genetic predisposition to a thyroid problem. When you're not feeling well and you walk into your medical doctor's office and they say, they run tests on you and they're like, yeah, your thyroid's no good. We need to put you on medication. They look at your family history. They see that there's a history of thyroid problems. What they're not taking into consideration is something called epigenetics. And you can go Google it. You can look out in the whole, there's so much information. Bruce Lipton, he was the first one that really brought to our attention that you don't have to be your genes. Your health doesn't have to be genetically like your parents, that you could actually change your genes. Well, what happens with thyroid problems is that you already have a gene that will predispose you to a thyroid problem, and then you come in contact with a stressor. A very good example of this is what we know, a great study done on agouti mice. And you go look it up, it was done out of the Duke University. What happened to the agouti mice is that they took two sets of twin mice, they took a whole series of them, and they fed them the same food, they gave them the same amount of exercise, and what they did to one group is expose them to BPA plastic, a stressor. And they watched, and the other group didn't get the exposure, and they watched what happened. And that group actually started to gain weight. Its hair changed, it plumped up, no change to the calorie count at all, no change to exercise. That's exactly what's happening to a lot of you guys. You have this predisposition for a genetic problem with your thyroid, with your metabolism, and you come in contact with a stressor that all of a sudden sets that gene off, and now out of nowhere, you're gaining weight. I've seen this, I've heard this, I've sat with you guys, I know how frustrating this is. When those genes get turned on and you feel like you haven't done anything and you don't know why, it's really frustrating. So the cool thing about the agouti mice and what they discovered was that you could actually turn these genes off. And you turn them off by figuring out what stressors you've been exposed to. There are two things that typically turn these genes on, one of which is heavy metals. So lead, mercury, aluminum, nickel, thallium, metals like that that we come into exposure in our waters, in our flu shots, in our fish, in our makeup. By the way, BPA plastic is deeply into your makeup. When you get a perfect storm of these heavy metals or neurotoxins kicking in, it will turn on your genetic predisposition to hold on to weight, to have a thyroid condition, to have an autoimmune condition. So if you want to turn that gene off, the first thing you have to do is figure out what stressors you've been exposed to. Heavy metals is a great start. We do heavy metal testing in my office to figure out exactly what exposure people have had. We also know the foods you eat. So if you're eating fake chemical-laden foods, those will turn on these genes. We also know physical stress, so car accidents, sitting around texting all day long, sitting at the computer all day long, repetitive chemical stress that's damaging to the spine, that can turn it on. And sometimes it's just a perfect storm of all of these things coming together, and bam, you've got a thyroid problem. So you've got to start off by identifying what stressors you've got. The last thing you've got to do to turn these genes off is you've got to repair your gut. And leaky gut is a big situation that's going on with so many people right now. If you haven't heard about genetically modified foods, go to my webpage. I have articles on leaky gut and how to correct it. If you're not reading labels and seeing if you're eating genetically modified foods, that is a great starting point. BT toxins, glyphosate, wheat, all of those are new things that have been introduced into our diet that are starting to create a leaky gut situation. And that with leaky gut, you get micro holes into openings in your intestinal tract that let undigested food into your bloodstream, let proteins into your bloodstream, and they cause your body to have an autoimmune response, which is why many of you are being diagnosed now with Hashimoto's. That's the next evolution of the thyroid problem. So if you want to fix your thyroid, you're going to have to start addressing these stressors, and you're going to have to start looking at leaky gut. Great place to start with is read labels. Go on to my videos. You'll see that I'll show you how to read a label. Check out my website. I've got information. I come to kids. I come to church groups. I come to corporations and teach people how to read their food label because it's that important. But if you want to fix your thyroid, you're going to have to start addressing the stressors, and you're going to have to start working on your gut.
So, you know, what's always interesting is that this, again, we don't ever seem to look for the cause. We just try to find the cure. And really, let's be honest about it, it's not a cure. They look for a long-term profitable solution to the symptoms of the problem instead of getting to the root of it. I need to do probably a whole show on epigenetics, find an expert on that. I think that's pretty fascinating stuff because I think a lot of people do believe, well, my parents had this or my relatives, we've got a family history of X, Y, and Z, so genetically I'm predisposed to these things. But what people don't realize is that so much of that, these genes are turned on because you've got the same poor dietary habits that your parents and maybe your grandparents or that your aunts and uncles, you have the same kind of culture, same bad dietary habits, same toxins in your life. And maybe it's not just a fate awaiting you because you share genetic history with these people that you can actually control even the expression of your genes, particularly the ones that are damaging to you by controlling your diet and the other things like stress and pollutants, those kinds of things. So anyway, interesting thing on thyroid. If you want any of these clips, you want any of the information covered on the show, just email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. I'll shoot you out my show notes. We'll be right back.
From all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, final segment for today's show. We got a new year starting. This is a time when people make these resolutions. Most people don't stick to them. The thing about getting into kind of natural health stuff and cleaning up your diet, it self-reinforces very quickly. A good exercise program does too, but we seem to quit that. But if you start paying attention to what you're eating, you'll start feeling better, looking better, losing weight, whatever it is that you've got issues with. Some of these things can take place over the course of days. I think it can lead itself to a lasting habit if you kind of pay attention to your body. There's something I'm going to include in my diet this coming year, for sure. I've kind of looked at it for a while, and really, it's one of those things. I'm like anybody else. I just haven't done it, but I don't have issues that I'm really seeking to address, so it doesn't take on the urgency, I would think, of somebody who's struggling with something. But I've seen for a while garlic and honey. Now, I don't know if there are garlic fans out there. I'm a garlic fan. I've used garlic. And here's the beautiful thing about garlic. Garlic is both antibacterial and antiviral. I believe garlic farmers of America could have done better than the CDC, the NIH, and the FDA to have managed the COVID outbreaks. Garlic is something that has a tremendous number of health benefits. I've got some audio here. I apologize. It's got music behind it. I can't stand this. But, you know, YouTube is wonderful. Here's another thing, too. if you get onto YouTube and you start looking at some of these health hacks, if you start looking, and I don't mean hack as in a snake oil salesman or anything. I mean, if you start looking at nutritional stuff, they'll start popping up in your feed. I've got a ton of problems with YouTube and their parent company, Google. But as far as YouTube on the more less controversial things like natural health, and I'm sure some things are suppressed even on YouTube, but you'll start finding these things in your feed. And I learn things on YouTube probably every week health-wise just because of my search history. They keep popping up. So this one popped up, and I think it's better than me just reading endlessly for an hour. I don't think there's anything compelling about that. It just has music behind it. I don't get to choose my clips, really. I have no way to take this stuff out. But the information in it is great, and this is talking about putting together and the health benefits of honey and garlic together.
Not only is garlic the perfect choice for adding flavor to a savory recipe, it provides a long list of proven health benefits thanks to its powerful antioxidant properties. Garlic contains a compound known as allicin, which has been shown to help lower cholesterol levels, prevent blood clotting, and has been shown to have anti-cancer properties and antimicrobial effects. Garlic is low in calories but high in nutrients, containing manganese, vitamin B6, vitamin C, selenium, and fiber. It's a natural immune system booster that helps the body fight infection. One study found that a daily dose of garlic reduced the number of colds by 63% while reducing the average length of cold symptoms by 70%. When you combine these two powerful ingredients, garlic and honey, you end up with an incredible medicine that provides quite the punch. Now, there are a few things to look out for when sourcing your garlic. As a general rule, you'll want to avoid garlic from China. The production process in that country often involves harmful chemicals like bleach and various pesticides. Ingesting those chemicals could defeat the purpose of this healthy garlic and honey mixture, so seek out organic garlic instead. Raw honey, on the other hand, is packed full of antioxidants, along with enzymes and minerals including iron, zinc, potassium, calcium, phosphorus, magnesium, and selenium. In case that isn't enough, it also contains vitamins B6, thiamine, riboflavin, and niacin. Commercial honey is often heavily processed, and excessive heat destroys its natural enzymes, vitamins, and minerals. But raw honey is rich in taste and has a high number of nutritional benefits. It has a healthy glycemic index that aids in better digestion. The natural vitamins and minerals in raw honey help lower cholesterol levels. Raw honey helps to fuel the body and the mind while making it easier to maintain a healthy weight. Its antibacterial and antioxidant properties make it a great remedy for the immune system. There are a few things you should note if you're looking for a good raw honey. Unfortunately, most honey products you'll find at the grocery store contain very little pollen. Large honey manufacturers typically load their product up with all sorts of other ingredients in an attempt to reduce production costs and increase profit margins. The best way to ensure you get quality honey is to source it from a local farmer's market. Not only will you increase your likelihood of getting quality raw honey, you'll also be able to ask the people who produce the honey any pertinent questions. To make garlic-infused honey for use as a natural home remedy to boost your immune system and keep your body healthy, separate the heads of garlic into individual cloves. Use as many as 3 to 4 heads of garlic. You don't have to peel the cloves, but remove the outer layer. Fill the jar with the unpeeled garlic cloves. Slowly pour the honey over the cloves. Use a spoon to release any trapped air bubbles. Before putting the lid on the jar, make sure the cloves are completely covered by honey. Allow the mixture to infuse for a few days, either in the fridge or at room temperature. After that, taste and enjoy.
So I've seen things that say you can let these things ferment for, 30 days before using it. A lot of people use this as salad dressings too, garlic flavored honey salad dressing. I plan on just eating it. Apparently, after it's been in the honey for a while, the garlic loses its big bite. If you've ever had really just raw garlic, which I've eaten for health reasons before, it can burn. I mean, it's tough stuff. But it kind of mellows out the garlic, and you get the benefits of the garlic and the honey at the same time. My plan is to have this stuff just sitting around where I'll just grab a spoon once a day and eat myself a clove of garlic. It is antibacterial and antiviral as well, and it has these properties. I have talked about it before where I had an abscess on my gum that was certainly going to be a root canal, but I had it during the weekend. I took a clove of garlic. I chewed up a couple of little slivers of garlic, took those masticated pieces, put it up there by that abscess. But within 24 hours, the abscess was just about completely gone. Hurt like hell. Let me tell you, it hurt. And I'm not advising this to anybody. You can do your own research on this. I just found this as a cure because I was trying to find pain relief between when I got a toothache on a Friday afternoon and knowing I couldn't get to a dentist until Monday morning. By Monday morning, there was no pain, there was no swelling, the abscess was gone, everything seemed back to normal. I never went to a dentist after that. I never needed anything for it, and it is that antibacterial quality of garlic that I guess accomplished that. Again, I'm not suggesting that. People say that's an infection that's close to your brain, you got to be careful. I was just trying to find a couple of days relief about it, and it just seemed to take care of the situation. I just went about my business. So I can attest to the fact that garlic is pretty powerful for a lot of different things. So anyway, that's a quick, easy thing to do, particularly if you like garlic. You can throw that into your diet and probably a whole host of benefits for that, and getting local sourced raw honey. That's important too. I'm glad they made those qualifiers. Anyway, that's about all the time that I've got today. You want my show notes or anything, or you have a topic you'd like to discuss on the show, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. See you next time.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how